a moment of great joy and happiness. Rescue them. We're going to be looking at Psalm 82 today. Psalm 82 about rescuing them. As Judy played during our offertory time, the refrain that kept going over and over in my head was, at the end of broken dreams, people need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, people need the Lord. And there's a lot of discussion going on in the midst of especially our country about who's supposed to take care of those people that are down and out. Who's supposed to take care of them? And there's a lot of conversation that says the government is supposed to take care of them. That's what I pay taxes for. Well, I'm here to tell you that's not what God's Word says. And we're going to look at this a little bit deeper and understand what God's Word has to say about who's in charge of reaching out and rescuing those who need help. Before I read the Scripture, Jonathan, if you could put that up there, that first slide of the Scripture for us, I want to explain something about the very first verse so that it is a little bit easier for you to hear what this verse has to say. Because it says something that we are not familiar with in our world. It says something that confuses us as we look at it, especially in different translations and see what's going on there. It says that God presides in the great assembly. He renders judgment among the gods. I want you to understand that when the psalm was written, that there's this idea about there are gods everywhere. And when you go to a new locality, you need to know the new gods that are in charge of that locality. And the idea that came into the Hebrew thought was that every once in a while, the God, the Almighty, the All-Powerful, the All-Wonderful, had this council that he convened and had all the gods come in so that they could talk about what was going on and what was happening. You also see this in the first two chapters of the book of Job, by the way, about this council of gods. And as you read it and as you see it, we say there's only one God. And yes, there is only one God. So the Hebrew people came to understand this in a deeper way, in a way that could help them to see what was going on. And that's what I want to share with you before I read the totality of the psalm. It says, and they understand, that God is talking about the Jewish leaders or the Jewish folks is where they came to understand this. And a little bit further in the psalm, it talks about, but God called you gods, and you are the children of God. Okay? So a little bit deeper in the psalm, we see it even more. But Jesus references this when he is talking with the people in John chapter 10, starting in verse 34. Jesus answered them. They got mad at him because he said he was the Son of God. And here's what he said to them. Is it not written in your law? I have said you are gods. If he called them gods to whom the word of God came and scripture cannot be set aside, what about the one whom the Father set apart as his own and sent into the world? Why then do you accuse me of blasphemy because I said I am God's son? Jesus came and shared with them about, hey, even your scriptures say that God sees you as gods. Now, here's what I want to say as we look at this scripture. Think about that as we look at this scripture. God is speaking to us in this scripture. We are the council of gods. We are those that are the great assembly that God has gathered together. So listen to these words now with that in mind. God presides in the great assembly. He renders judgment among the gods. God says these words. How long will you defend the unjust and show partiality to the wicked? Defend the weak and the fatherless. Uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. The gods know nothing. They understand nothing. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. I said, you are gods. You are all sons of the Most High, but you will die like mere mortals. You will fall like every other ruler. And then the people cry out in verse 8, Rise up, O God, judge the earth, for all the nations are your inheritance. If we gather the understanding that Jesus used as he shared this passage, and the understanding that the Jewish rabbis came to, then we can understand that we are the great assembly that God is speaking with. And then we can hear these words with a new ear. And as we hear these words with a new ear, God is saying this to us. God asks us, Are you helping to bring about justice for those less fortunate than you? When we hear this with a new ear, God is speaking to us, and God asks us, How are you helping to bring about justice for those less fortunate than you? Yes, it's very easy for us to say, well, there's government programs to take care of you. There's government things to do this and do that. And the government has taken over all that. But God questions the people and he says, How are you doing it? How are you reaching out to those who are less fortunate? How are you reaching out to those who need a help up? How are you reaching out? And there is some wonderful programs that I've learned in the time that I've been here in this church and in this town and in this county that are doing wonderful and powerful things to reach out to folks and give them the understanding that God loves them and God lifts them up. I ask you, though, as God asks you, what are you doing? What are you part of? Now, this psalm challenges me greatly. This psalm challenges me greatly because I'm a contemplative. Those of you that don't believe me when I get ready to say, I'm getting ready to say something you're not going to believe. I am an introvert. I am an introvert. Now, some of you are going, no, that's not what I've seen. Let me explain this to you so that you understand a little bit deeper. It doesn't mean that I'm a shy person, that I don't talk. That's not what introvert means. We've made it mean that. Introvert means that I gather my energy and my power, I gather my strength, and I gather my ability to do things by being off by myself, meeting with God, just being quiet. And that's where I gather my energy. If you want to look at it this way, that's where I charge my batteries. And once my batteries are charged, there's some energy in there that's got to get out. And it's got to get out in ways and meeting with people and talking with people and visiting with people. And I love it. But that drains my batteries down. And it requires me to go off by myself again. Now, why did I tell you all this? I'd much rather spend time just alone with God than in the midst of the world helping people up from where they are. This challenges me. This word challenges me to go a little bit deeper in my faith. Verse 5 also says this. It says, when we're not about rescuing others, then the earth is shaken to its core. It says the gods know nothing. They understand nothing. Shall I change the word a little bit? And I bet you'll agree with this verse. The leaders know nothing. They understand nothing. Can you say amen to that? We talk about our country and we talk about our leaders that they know nothing. They don't understand anything. And God says when that is true, the earth is shaken to its core. We need to be about rescuing folks when that happens. We need to step up and be the leaders. We need to step up and be the folks that God's asking us to interact with this world. So I was at Branded last night. It was a fantastic and a wonderful time. I'm sorry that it had to be moved inside because of the rain. But it was a wonderful time as Deanne and I were there to soak in what was going on and what was happening and to see what was happening through our kids, through adults that are helping with them, through the band that was there, through the speaker. And the speaker finished up the night with this thought that resounded with me. We all need to be baptized with compassion. We need to experience the baptism of compassion so that we can be out in the midst of the world where these low people are and help them and encourage them and lift them up, not pass them by, not say there's a program that can help them, but spending time with them and encouraging them. And when we as the church don't do that, the earth is shaken to its core. The earth is shaken to its core when we don't do that. Well, I found a quote that I would like to share with you from a lady that I have read her main book. Her name is Evelyn Underhill. She lived in the early part of the 20th century, mainly, in England. She was known as a contemplative. She was known as what was also sometimes termed at that time a mystic. And most of us hear that and we kind of back up a little bit, don't we? Because we don't understand what that is and we're not sure about that and we're not understanding about that. And she wrote a book called Mysticism, which is about spirituality and internal spirituality and how people learn more about God as they spend time with God. It's a refreshing and a great book. Don't be scared by the title of Mysticism. But one of the things, and I started looking for it, and I couldn't find exactly what I was looking for, but I found this quote from her. You see, she was always about being off by herself and coming to understand God more. And she had a spiritual director who was in Germany, and they did not meet very often. But they wrote lots of letters back and forth. And I was looking for one of those letters and did a search for it, and I couldn't find it when I came across this quote that said the same thing. Because, you see, her spiritual director told her, "You've got to stop spending so much time by yourself and with God." Well, you're going to hear that preached a lot, aren't you? You got to stop spending so much time off by yourself and only with God. That doesn't sound like something that preaches, does it? He said you've got to go out and get your hands dirty helping the people that are less fortunate than you. You've got to put a balance into your spirituality, not just your time with God and alone in the scriptures, which are important, and in prayer. But he says you need to go out and get your hands dirty. I couldn't find that letter. As I looked for it, as I searched it, as I Googled it, I couldn't find it. But here's the quote I found, and I hope it will ring with you as I read it. Okay? So listen to these words. I'm waiting for him to change the slide so that you guys can see it. Okay, the beginning of the quote. "We are agents of the creative spirit in this world. Real advance in the spiritual life then means accepting this vocation with all it involves. Not merely turning over the pages of an engineering magazine and enjoying the pictures, but putting on overalls and getting on with the job. The real spiritual life must be horizontal as well as vertical. The real spiritual life must be horizontal as well as vertical." Does that ring with anybody? Does that ring with anything that you've heard? If you've been here on Wednesday night, I think it does, doesn't it? I had never seen this quote until I searched for something this week about what I was telling you I was looking for. If you've been here on Wednesday nights, as we've talked about the obedient Christian and the wheel illustration, we've talked about the vertical relationship that we have with God. And God does that through the Word, and we do it through prayer, and God speaks to us through prayer also. And this last week, we began to talk about the horizontal relationship with the world. The horizontal relationship, last week we talked about fellowship and what fellowship means. And then we're going to talk about the next 2 weeks about witnessing and what it means to share about our faith with people that don't know Jesus Christ. Look at this again. She says the real spiritual life must be horizontal as well as vertical. The real spiritual life must be horizontal as well as vertical. In the piece before this that I really liked, she says that not merely turning the pages of an engineering magazine and enjoying the pictures, but putting on overalls and getting on with the job. I wouldn't go work around the house or a job with a suit on. Sometimes these clothes are too expensive to have to replace. But maybe I would put on some overalls. Maybe I would put on some coveralls and get out amongst the people and get down where they are, even if I get my hands dirty. Is that not what Jesus did among the people? He got out and got his hands dirty. And then what happened? The people said, look at him. He doesn't know how to hang out with the right people. He's always hanging out with the wrong crowd. And he looked at some of the Pharisees when they said that, and he said, who's going to be more thankful when they're forgiven? Those that are so down and far out that when they're helped up and encouraged, or the one who only needs a little piece of being forgiven. Folks, we've got to get down where the people are. We got to stop looking at the magazines. We got to get out and be part of the horizontal life. And I don't mean laying down on the couch and taking a nap, okay? That's not what that means. Although that's the 11th commandment, right? I believe that. Thou shalt take a Sabbath nap, okay? Folks, we need to be about the horizontal of our relationship in this world, as well as the vertical and being in contact with God. So I leave you with this question. Where is God leaving you horizontally to put on overalls and be an agent of God's creative spirit? Where is God leading you horizontally to put on overalls and be an agent of God's creative spirit in this world? Let us pray. Lord, we come to you because we need you. We need to hear your word and we need to understand it. And sometimes, Lord, it's such a challenge to us, and it's so easy, especially in our country, to shuffle off responsibility to somewhere else. But the truth is, as you gather the great congregation together, as you gather the great assembly together, you charge us with going out and getting our hands dirty with the messiness of life. And Lord, each and every one of us knows someone who is at the end of their broken dreams. We know someone who has lost all hope. We know someone who needs to know that you love them. Guide us to that person this week, that we may be truly part of your creative spirit in this world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.